Good morning. Welcome to Peace Lutheran as we gather this morning in our worship service. We are celebrating Rally Sunday, and we continue to rally around God's Word to hear what He has to say to us, the promises He gives in His Word for us. And one of those promises we are able to recognize and see, receive this day, and we are to have a baptism during our worship service. So we are so happy to have that occur this morning, to see God's kingdom continue to grow in and through the gift that He gives to us. There's a couple other announcements that should be mentioned this morning. I know that people continue to tune in via the radio and YouTube to hear and to be part of worship services that way. Next Sunday, the 21st of September, there will be a worship service on the radio at 9 a.m. and be from the 9 o'clock to the 10 o'clock hour due to some programming restrictions that do not allow our 10 o'clock service to be live streamed next Sunday. But if you're on YouTube, you can catch it at the regular 10 o'clock hour. So this next Sunday, though, just want people to be aware that 9 a.m. is when you will be able to catch the worship service for Peace Lutheran on the air. So God's blessings as you and I worship together, and we look to start the service of prayer and preaching by singing a hymn that focuses on baptism and the wonderful gift it is, hymn number 593. Please join me in singing. Sailor to come forward for the rite of holy baptism. Congregation and those that have hymnals can find the service for holy baptism found on page 268. So if you come on forward and gather around the baptismal font. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful, and are under the power and devil until Christ claims us as His own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So how are you named? Sailor Grace. Koshak, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood, yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Sailor Grace, according to your boundless mercy, and bless her with true faith in the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. The Evangelical Lutheran Church sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them towards a faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Sailor Grace as sponsors in the Christian faith?
Yes.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace, fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in praying our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. At this time, I'll ask that the sponsors give voice to Sailor, and we continue in our rite. Sailor Grace, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce it.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Sailor Grace, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
Sailor Grace, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us all of the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we may hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge in your family and have granted Sailor Grace the new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you. Welcome. Thank you. These are some items that we would love you to have to use and mark and remember her baptism. So you're welcome. At this time, I invite the congregation to stand as you are able. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God then dwell in the tents of the wicked. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Congregation, please be seated.
The Old Testament lesson for this 13th Sunday after Trinity is taken from the book of 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. The men of Israel took captives 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Obed, and he went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand, but you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken in the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Certain chiefs, also the men of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Bechariah the son of Meshilemoth, Jehezekiah, the son of Shalem, and Amasa, the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives in here, for your purpose to bring upon us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who had been mentioned by the name rose and took the captives, and with the spoil they clothed all those who were naked among them. They clothed them and gave them sandals, provided them with food to drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk in Jericho, the city of palm trees. And then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord. Please read along with me the gradual. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Joseph. The epistle this morning is taken from the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul the covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise has been made, and it was put in place through the angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of our Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel comes from St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. For blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I invite you to speak with me the Ten Commandments as we review the foundations of our Christian faith. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We will continue and speak together our Lord's Prayer. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. Those children that are present, I invite you to come forward for a children's message at this time. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
We have been able to hear God's word, and we hear some of the important messages that he has for us. We heard in the gospel lesson a story that is often called the Good Samaritan. And that is a story that Jesus told when somebody wanted to know who he should treat as his neighbor. Do you guys have neighbors? Yeah. Who do you guys think your neighbors are? Well, who do you think?
Your neighbors are your people. For one, there's a couple different types. There's the type of next door neighbor, or there's who you would sit by or stand by, or the most important is everybody is your neighbor.
All right. So there's a couple ways where we can maybe give a definition to neighbor, and you've labeled quite a few of them. Those that are in close proximity to you, those are kind of what we think about neighbors, and we talk about living in a neighborhood. But yes, God's word tells us that neighbor should include all people. So if they're the neighbor, do they have to look the same as you and I do?
No.
No. Do they always have to like the same things that you and I like?
No.
No. Are we always going to agree with our neighbors?
No.
No. But God wants us to love our neighbors, and that's what that second half of our commandments is about. Commandments 4 through 10, these are the way that God wants us to show that we love our neighbors, by fulfilling these commandments. And so that's what God wants. God wants us to love our neighbors, and as he says, all people are those that we are to be neighbors to. And so, is that going to be an easy task for you and for me, that we need to show love to everyone? It's not always easy. And who do you think is going to help you show love to your neighbors? Who do you think is going to help you out? Is it going to be mom and dad that's going to give you the strength? They may encourage and remind you at times, right? But isn't it God who's going to help give you and strengthen you so that you can love others? Yes, it is. And you and I have the wonderful pleasures of talking to God and asking Him at times for that strength to love our neighbors. And so how about you and I, along with all of our church family that's gathered here and listening on the radio and on YouTube, how about we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer now asking for that strength? Dear God, our Heavenly Father,
dear God, our Heavenly Father,
thank you for all of your good gifts.
Thank you for all of your good gifts,
especially the love that you show in Jesus Christ.
Especially the love that you show in Jesus Christ.
Please help me love my neighbor.
Please help me love my neighbor,
especially when it is difficult.
Especially when it is difficult.
Give me the extra encouragement I need.
Give me the extra encouragement I need
to display your great love.
To display your great love.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning, and if you would like, I do have a little treat that you can take while you return to you sit with those that you're sitting with, and our congregation continues by singing hymn 566.
Trouble, the Father's heart is open
mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon hymn, By Grace I'm Saved. How wonderful of a message it is to hear this proclamation that yes, you are saved by grace. We sang it is it by the works that we have done? No. It is not through our works. Was it because of your own merit that Jesus died your soul to win? Certainly not. How many of you were alive before Christ to merit any good works that then he could see and do before your life? Well, none of us, right? He already in the past did what was necessary for you and for me to be saved. The gift comes without any merit or worthiness on our own part. We saw it today in holy baptism as Sailor Grace was baptized into God's family. What has she done? Well, she's looked really cute today, right? Well, I'd say that's more of a passive than an active work on her behalf. And for you and for me, we can maybe point to other works that we have, since maybe some of that cuteness has left. But truly, is it based on what we have done? No. It's not what we have done, but rather it's because God loves his creation. He loves each man, woman, and child. He knows each one of you by name. He's known you from before your birth. And he seeks that you would live life eternally with him. And it's yes by grace. And that's where we can see some differences of opinions occurring within our gospel lesson with Jesus giving that wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. And how it even relates to our gospel, to the text that's based and combined with that in Galatians. Jesus is confronted by a lawyer who wants to ask and who says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Oh, so if you're going to look to do this to inherit, what does the law say? We spoke our Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And then there are those which call for us to love our neighbors. Honor your father and your mother, and so on, right? Those commandments. And the lawyer sums them up. Well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, yep, spot on, exactly. Do this, and you will have life. But are we able to actually fulfill the law that God demands? The answer is no. We cannot fulfill God's law. As young as we once have been in this world, even at a day old, we are tainted with sin. and that sin separates us from God, our Heavenly Father. We cannot undo that taint, at least not through the works that you and I perform in this life. And so, there must be another way. Jesus tells that lawyer, well, who's the one that acted like the neighbor? Well, the one who showed him compassion. The Samaritan. The one that they generally do not want to do anything with or even associate with because they're outside the people of Israel. They're the wrong sort of person. God, is he even for that individual? And that's what Paul in Galatians is dealing with. How is one saved? Jesus says, no, it is not through your works. It is not through you fulfilling the law because you cannot. But if you think you can, well, here's the expectation. Here's the bar that you must surpass. And you're not going to be able to do it. And so Paul, he's dealing also with how are people saved. What needs to happen in order to have eternal life in and through Jesus Christ? There are some who have grown up and been in the Jewish religion, and sometimes they got to places ahead of Paul, or maybe they got there after Paul, and they started telling people, well, this is the law that God has established. This is what God has told us. This is the way to live a life of righteousness. You must do this. But Paul writes to the Galatians, telling them, no, no, no. You don't get to heaven. You do not have eternal life by what you do through your works. It is rather through God's promises, the grace that he has extended. And how can I point that out to you? Well, think back in the history of Israel. God made a promise to Abraham. He called him and said, made the promise that he would make him into a great nation, that all the nations on the earth would be blessed through him. And through this promise was for him and to his offspring. And when did God make that promise? It was, 430 years before Moses came and gave the people God's laws, including the Ten Commandments. And well, God had ratified his covenant. He said, this is my promise, and I'm going to be faithful to it, to you, Abraham, to your descendants. You can trust these words. For God is faithful and God is true. And he fulfills that promise. There is an inheritance to come. But no, it's not through the law. That came later. God does give the law so that we can live as those who follow him and his will, to know what he desires for us to live in this world. But that's not how you or I will get to heaven. For if inheritance, the promises of everlasting life and heaven, comes by the law, it's no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. You and I live in a world of broken promises. we probably have experienced many in our life. You can look back through history and see where treaties were made and then treaties were broken and then a new treaty was issued and ratified and things changed. But that's how humans work, not God. He spoke and he gave his promise so that you may have life everlasting. And that promise comes by faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. What wonderful news that God has given his promise that you and I can trust in. That yes, through Jesus Christ, all sins have been forgiven. That he died upon the cross so that you could be made clean, so that you could be restored to God, your Heavenly Father, in the way that we saw occur this morning. Through holy baptism, all sins are washed away and righteousness is gained, not by what one has done, but because this is what God's word says to us. All who believe and are baptized will be saved. What a wonderful promise that you and I have in our lives. These are the promises that God gives to us. It's not because of what I've done. It's not because of my heritage. It's not because of where I live. But rather, it's because of our Heavenly Father and his great love for us. By grace, you and I are saved through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the good news that we get to tell others. There is hope, even for the worst sinner. For Jesus died, and he paid the price that all sins demand with his death upon the cross, as he shed his blood and gave up his very life. He did what you and I cannot do, and he gave to us the gift of life everlasting. Trust in the promises that God has given, that he gives life through water in baptism. Trust in the promises that God has given, that he is present in the Lord's Supper, in the very body and blood. Jesus Christ is there to strengthen us in our faith. We trust in the promises that God has given, and we are able to speak boldly, yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. Amen. The resurrection of the body goes in there too. So sorry to jump over that. But yeah, forgiveness, resurrection, and life everlasting. These are the gifts that God promises. So may you continue to dwell upon God's promises. Let them richly be in you, in your heart, and in your mind. Let them flow through you so that others too may hear of the great promises that God has given and know of life everlasting through Jesus. Amen. May the grace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, I invite our ushers to come forward to gather our tithes and offerings. invite the congregation to please stand as you are able. You've probably noticed this morning that in the pews we have a number of quilts, and not only do we thank God for the gifts that He has given to us and return to Him in monetary fashions, but we also return to Him in other ways, utilizing our gifts and talents so that they may continue to spread His love. And quilts are one of the ways that we in our congregation continue to show God's love through our deeds. And so at this time, we look to dedicate these quilts so that God's love would continue to be shown through them in this world. Let us pray. O God, our Lord, maker of all things, you have blessed us with so many gifts: a good eye for color, the ability to make fine stitches, the skills to develop ever new and exciting patterns. Now we offer the fruits of our labors, the quilts we have made for you. We dedicate these quilts and kits to your service, trusting that your love will go wherever each quilt or kit is sent, making it more than just a piece of material, a collection of items, making each piece we have created an expression of love. There is no way for us to imagine the power and effect an act of love can have on a person's life. How you can use something as small as a quilt, a school kit, to radiate your love from us to the world. May these be used in your service and become blessings for all those who receive them. Lord, we know that all we possess come from your loving hands. Give us grace to honor you with all of our being. Draw our hearts to guide our minds. Fill our imagination. Control our wills so that we may be wholly yours. Use us as you will. Always to the glory and the welfare of your people. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all of our hearts and with all of our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphan, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And finally, for these and for all of our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, that we may obtain what you have promised. Make us love what you have commanded through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself.
my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Christ has been raised from the dead. Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Raised from the dead, he will never die again. Death has no dear dominion over him. Christ has been raised from the dead. Alleluia. Alleluia. Dying, Christ dies to sin once for all. Living, he lives to God. Count yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.
Please be seated as we sing our concluding hymn number 830.
Feel like it gives us little control, spinning us through moments of turmoil and peace, companionship and loneliness. But with each challenge, we come closer to finding our place, out of darkness and into light. When it feels like your world is moving too quickly, you're not alone. VA is standing by. Explore mental health resources and treatments for veterans at mentalhealth.va.gov.